Hello and welcome to Bittersweet Symphony. I'm Cliona Ryan, a violinist with the Irish Chamber Orchestra and a freelancer. In August and September 2021, I sat down and chatted with fellow musicians about what their experience was like when our world suddenly stopped. There was a deafening quiet where there had always been music, and so I got curious about what happened to us and for us when we were faced with this silence. Today I'm chatting with Chris Neary, a bass trombonist with the RTE Concert Orchestra, who's originally from Pittsburgh. He shares his frustrations at teaching over Zoom and homeschooling, as well as beautiful recollections of weekend pizza-making parties. He also shares his experience of reconnecting with the love of music after realising he was totally burnt out. This is Chris Neary. So you say that you haven't done any preparation.
I lied a bit because I took a few notes of a few bitter things, a few sweet things and bittersweet things, and looked back through some photos, as you suggested, to see what I was up to in the past 18 months. So most of the photos are pretty upbeat, but I know that probably wasn't, it's probably not indicative of how that time period actually went.
Yeah.
Like for me, I think the worst thing, I would tend to be impatient as a person. So it was the unknown and the waiting that was the most difficult part. I think that certainly for me created anxiety, you know, that's, but I think to go right into the bittersweet part of your question, I know it wasn't the initial question. The homeschooling process, I think, was the oddest part of the whole experience.
What do you mean?
Well, we all teach music, I suppose, you know, or have taught at times, but teaching your own kids something is, you know, it's really difficult to teach your own kids anything. The whole homeschooling thing, and even teaching other kids, I think, on Zoom and whatnot. Zoom is great for conversations like this, but for teaching music, it was just disastrous. It felt like, you know, I almost wanted to say to the kids, I'm aware, like, how difficult this is, you know, to try to be playing something back and not even be able to hear something as basic as rhythm necessarily, or, you know, it wasn't great. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Children did get a lot of really wonderful time with their parents that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
Yeah, it's true. We tried to have some kind of rhythm to the week. You know, every weekend we made pizza and that kind of thing from scratch, and just find, like, Friday night was movie nights, and then just every Friday it was kind of, you had to find things that made the weekend feel like the weekend as a break from sitting at home, which was tricky.
I mean, not working, I can see how it's really supportive for the family and everything like that. But did it present challenges for you in terms of how you felt? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, our primary motivation is probably the social contact of work, and especially as musicians, there's a lot of that. And for motivation, like, there were definitely months where I just did not feel like playing. I suppose for musicians as well, like, the rhythm of practice is a big part of your day. It's kind of something we've done since we were kids. So when you take that out, the day actually feels kind of long and kind of a little bit empty. But it just seemed like there wasn't any point practicing anything.
Yeah, I didn't play for a good few months whenever everything, you know, happened initially. And then sometimes I'd take my fiddle out to practice, and then I'd have that thing of, like, what's the point? And it would make me feel even sadder or more despondent or something. I think in some ways I avoided practicing because then I didn't have to have all those, you know, what's happening, everything's falling apart feelings, you know?
Absolutely. And I guess you don't realize what a big part of your day it is.
Yeah.
Something that's been ingrained at us for years, and you take that away, it did feel like, geez, what am I to do with myself, you know?
And tell me, what were things like for you just before? What was work life? What was life like? How, you know?
I was working quite a bit, but I was probably also burnt out even before the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit and I thought, wow, I'm really burnt out. Fortunately, I think the pandemic brought some good things, like doing more chamber music and playing for fun, which is something we probably all lose when you're gigging and you know, trying to make ends meet and whatnot.
Yeah.
When you're young, you know, everyone wants to be a soloist, or you're always trying to be virtuosic, And then you find yourself wanting the financial stability of, you know, big ensembles and the kind of financial protection that they provide. But probably as you get older, things like chamber music, you know, what I enjoy more, because the social element of chamber music, I think, is healthy as a musician as well. And you're also exposed a bit more, you know, so it's healthy for your playing as well, I think.
Yeah. So when you say the social aspect of chamber music, how is that different to the social aspect of orchestral playing?
Orchestras are kind of impersonal, I think, you know, like everyone's assigned, I hate to use the word robots, but you can feel, it's very easy to feel like a robot. And there's very, very little room for any kind of expression, of course, in an orchestra, unless you're, you know, playing a solo. And even then there's very little room. I think just the freedom kind of being able to work in a small group where everyone can kind of have a bit more personality. And we did some brass quintets as well, and some just goofy stuff that I hope will continue. We'll see.
Yeah. So there you are. You're a bit burnt out. And then at home you have your wife and your daughter and then a tiny little baby boy. How old were the kids in March 2020?
So he would have been 1.5. He would have been 18 months. Yeah. So he just turned 3. And my daughter is super. She'll be 10 in December. So she would have been 8.5. So she was a big help.
Do you want to share your bitter memory? Or I wonder, did you have a few that you had thought of or that had come to mind for you?
So, I mentioned a few. I think, yeah, the unknown, the waiting, you know, whether it's for shops to open or schools to open or even playgrounds to open at one point, if you recall, the burnout, the feeling of why am I doing this? Why would I bother practicing? Especially as a brass player, because if you're not practicing consecutive days in a row, you very quickly, you know, lose your chops. And that at times felt like it just wasn't worth it. You know, you have nothing in the diary for 6 months, so why would you be practicing every day? A bit of cabin fever as well. I think, you know, just the routine of going out every day for the same walk, you know, that kind of routine, I think all took its toll on people. And I think one of the things that actually frustrated me the most was all of the, like, the misinformation and the garbage you saw on social media and even WhatsApp groups and whatnot. And you'd see all this conspiracy theory stuff that kind of pushed me up a wall, that I didn't have much tolerance for that. It rubbed me the wrong way of how easy it is to spread misinformation.
Did you have any, like, disagreements with friends or family at all? Or
yeah, probably. Like, I think that was, I don't know if bitter is the word, but that was definitely a negative. I suppose people that I knew, and not necessarily professionally, I think most musicians got it, but people in other sectors of life sometimes kind of, you know, questioning things like, do we need a lockdown and do we need to be wearing masks and things like that. I found hard to kind of take on board, although I understand there were days I was thinking the same, you know, as they were. There were days you thought, is this really necessary?
Did you vote in the midst of it all? Did you get a postal vote, or do you have one? Or
I did. I managed to vote.
Did you grow up in Pennsylvania, Chris?
I did. Yeah, I grew up in Pittsburgh. What swung that election was when the vote of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh came through, the entire state ended up going for Biden. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's huge, vast areas that went for Trump. And when we were back in the summer, you could definitely feel that. Like, you saw the Trump 2024 T-shirts.
Well, that's a cause for fucking despair. But let's think about your sweet memories. Yeah. What are your sweet memories, Chris?
I think I mentioned a few, but certainly number one was making pizza with the kids. I think that was the weekend. We're going to make the dough on Saturday. There's a great expression in French, I guess we call it the Sunday blues, but they call it the Sunday cockroach. For us, like, making pizzas on a Sunday afternoon was just the perfect remedy for the Sunday blues. I know there were some weeks, like, just going to the recycling center felt like the highlight of the week. You know what I mean? Taking your bottles to the recycling center.
It's just something like a really simple thing achieved, right? That you had this stuff and then afterwards you didn't have that stuff and you got something done. I know exactly what you mean.
Absolutely.
Did you miss contact with friends and going out for a pint and...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think post-concert pints, you know, that kind of thing.
And then your bittersweet memory was all like having to homeschool and teaching online. Would it have been?
Yeah, I think, well, it was really, to do with the kids, because just knowing that, especially for my daughter, that how much she was missing. You know, she's a very social girl.
Did you see a change in her at all? Or
I think so. Yeah, I think there definitely some frustration. And, you know, there were times it was, you kind of had to make it up as you went along.
I wonder, is there anything that has made you think about how you want to live from here on out? Has this changed you in any way?
I think it has, although I think the change probably started before the pandemic, you know, with kind of a bit of burnout and whatnot. I'd like to go back sort of to more of doing what I enjoy as a musician and not necessarily what makes money. I'd like to do more gigs because I want to do them, because the things that I'm invested in, because I believe in the music, rather than, okay, you just have to go pay the bills. So I'd like to get some of that back. And also the life work balance thing, there's definitely a rhythm after the pandemic. You know where the two extremes are. So finding that sweet spot where you kind of feel like what you're doing is meaningful and manageable, one concert a week and your weekend's free would be lovely.
I suppose if you have an understanding of what the ideal is, then to try and shape things so that you're as close to it as you can be, and to hold it, to honor yourself by trying to maintain joy and love of music.
I think we all probably get to a point where we kind of, I don't know if the word hate is too strong, but we definitely get to a point where we don't enjoy it the way we did as kids.
Yeah.
I probably turn down more gigs, you know, now than I would have in the past, and just think, do I really want to be doing that? Or would I rather have my weekend free and do stuff, make pizza with the kids, you know, that kind of thing. We have our attic has been finished, and it was my studio until my wife took it as her office. So now that she's back in the office, I'm reclaiming it as my studio.
Yeah.
And I want to paint it. I think a studio should be red or orange. I think those are good studio colors.
would that have been one of your sweet things, Chris? The kind of projects in the house and in the garden and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we weren't working, there was no kind of sense of having any value or achievement or anything, or doing something that gave you or other people pleasure. And to be able to just paint, I was so grateful of those things.
Absolutely. I suppose as musicians as well, we're kind of used to working with our hands. So like not being able to physically do something is a bit frustrating, I think.
Yeah.
So I understand that feeling of just wanting to just do something, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? Because a lot of people don't really think about what we do as working with our hands.
No.
Because people kind of think of that as something like growing things or working with wood, or like, you know, they don't see musicians as working with their hands because that's almost too earthy or something. But it's exactly what we do, work with our hands, and how precious they are. Thanks so much to Chris for taking the time to sit down and have a chat with me. It seems like he really got so much joy out of the simple things, the pizza parties, the trips to the recycling centre, the painting. Of course, for us musicians, working with our hands is really important. Creating something, making a contribution, making a difference. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Keep listening, but also like and subscribe. It goes a long way to spreading the word. Follow along on Instagram at ryan.kleana, on Twitter at Kleana Violin, and on Facebook at Bittersweet Symphony Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.